Okay, we left off on the Chesed Medeis. Amar Rava, Ruven Shemachar Kol Sedosav L'Shimon, correct? V'machar Sode Achas L'Levi. In other words, we have two Lekuchos. Ruven is the individual who was the Gove, and he sold his fields to Shimon. He was the first Lokeach. And then he sold one field to Levi, a second Lokeach, Ubaba Alchov de Reuven, Ratza Mize Gove, Ratza Mize Gove. However, the Gemara has to explain the Ukimta of Rava. Lo Amran Ela de Zavan Benonis. The Benonis went to Levi. Avol Zavan Idis Viziburis. Lo. Then the Malve would have no Taina on Levi. Damar Le. Lohachi Daike Vizavni Idis Viziburis. Ara de Lo Chazielach. That I specifically left the Benonis by Shimon so that you should be able to take from it. Vafilu Zavan Benonis, and even if Levi purchased Benonis, Nami Lo Amran, Ela Delo Shir Benonis de Kavasa. In other words, that he took all the Benonis from Shimon. Delo Matzi Amar Lehi Nachti Lecha Makom L'Gabi Shimon. Avo Shir Benonis de Kavasa Gabi Shimon Lo Gavi Mina. Then the Baal Chov would not be able to turn to Levi, the Matzi Amar Le, because Levi could tell him, Hinachti Lecha Makom Likvos Mimenu. I left Benonis by Shimon. You should turn to Shimon, don't turn to me. Namely, that this, the bottom line of the Gemara is that we say that if we have Reuven, who was a Lova, he sold all his fields, his Edis, Benonis, and Ziburis to Shimon. And now Shimon sold all of his Benonis to Levi. At this point, the Baal Chov can either turn to Levi or the Baal Chov can turn to Shimon. He has two options, Ratza Mizegove, Ratza Mizegove. Correct? In other words, namely that Shimon retains the Edis and the Ziburis. All of the Benonis went to Levi. Now the Baal Chov has a choice of either going to Levi or going to Shimon. So let's try to understand the two sides. What are his two alternatives? One alternative, Ratza Mizegove, that he should go to Shimon, obviously he should go to Levi to be Gove. What would be the Svara? Chora Svara Pshuta. Why would we say that he can go to the second Lokeach as opposed to going to the first one? Yes, Shimon?
Because he has a din of type of land.
Nachon. That's his Iker Shibud. Midr Rabbanon, the Iker Shibud of the Baal Chov is on Benonis, and that's what Rashi points out. Ratza Mizeh Gove Milevi Gove Osasada Marle Shibud Eshaklis. You, Dafka, took my Shibud, you took that which was on lean to me, the Benonis, and therefore I have the right to turn to you, even though you're coming into the picture after Shimon. But the question is, well, then what's the other side? Why could he still go to Shimon? What's the svar that he could still go to Shimon? After all, Shimon no longer has that Iker Shibud. That Iker Shibud was moved over to Levi. So here we have a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos as to how to understand the second Ratza Mizeh Gove. Why he should be able to be Gove still from Shimon. What does Rashi say? Ratza Mishimon Gove Miziburis Domar Le At Baal Dvarim Didi at the Shaklis Kulu Nichse de Reuven. That the Malve can turn to Shimon and tell Shimon, you are my Baal Dovar because you purchased everything that the Love previously had. And what over here is Rashi telling us? What over here is the Svara that the Malve can turn to Shimon?
He
bought what? In other words, what is this Ratza Mizeh Gove? The Benonis is no longer by him, as our Shimon pointed out. Right? The Benonis is no longer, his Iker Shibud is no longer in the hands of Shimon. So what taina does he have on Shimon?
You're the new Reuven.
Excuse me?
You're the new Reuven.
You're the Reuven, exactly, 100%. Nichnas Tachtav. When the moment you purchased all of the land of Reuven, you are now my Baal Dovar. Ki'ilu, I have a Shibud HaGuf on you. Ki'ilu, you are the Lova. You're standing in for the Lova. And now I, in other words, I'm turning to you as I would turn to the Lova. So we have over here, if I'm following my Shibud Nechasim would lead me to Levi. If I'm following my Shibud Haguf, that was Kiviyachol transferred from Levi, from Reuven to Shimon. And so I'm turning to Shimon because you're standing in for the Lova. You are my Baal Dovar, right? That's what Rashi points out. Rotsa Mishimon Gova Miziburis Damale at Baal Dvarim Didi at the Shaklus Kugu Nirse de Reuven. Correct? Okay. What does Tosfos change over here in Rashi? And then we'll have to see what Nafkamina would be. We have over here two Tosfos. First one, the Rotsa Mizegova, Rotsa Mizegova. Af al gav damrinan ein govin min achasim mishubadim b'makom sheyesh nachasim b'nei charin afilu hein ziburis. In other words, Rashi Tosfos over here is asking sort of a question has an obvious answer, but it's good that it's always good to ask obvious questions, get obvious answers. Namely, what right does the Baal Chov have to go to Levi? After all, Levi left Karka in the hands of Shimon, and we have this rule that we never move over to Mishubadim the moment there is still B'nei Charim. So the answer, of course, is Shaini Hacha de Kuhu Mishabdin Ninu. That rule only applies Agabe Reuven. Reuven, who was the original Lova, his property in his hands, that's considered to be B'nei Chari. That's the first thing that we hit. But once Reuven sold everything to Shimon, and now Shimon goes and sells it to Levi, so now everything is Meshubad. Everything is Meshubad. There's no nafkamina if something is Meshubad twice or something is Meshubad once. Everything is Meshubad. The question is, who has the Iker Shibud? So here, we say Ratzamiza, Ratzamiza. That from Rashi's perspective, if we follow the Shibud Nechasim, the trail of the Shibud Nechasim, we get to Levi. If we follow the Shibud Haguf, the one who is standing in for Levi, the Nichnas Tachtav, then we get to Shimon. However, Tosus over here, in the course of explaining the Shakla Vitaria of the Gemara, comes up with a different explanation of why we would move to Shimon. What does Tosus point out? Avol Zavan Idis Viziburis, we're saying that if Levi would not have bought the Bein on this, if he would have bought the Edis Viziburis, Tosis points out, Nira the Iri Shapir Afilu de Shavak Beinonis. In other words, Lechor, what is going to have to give a reason to say, the reasoning that's given in the Gemara is Lahachi Daike Vizavni Edis Viziburis Ara de Lochazilach. In other words, that I Bedafka took land which is not shayach to you. Why do we need that line of reasoning? Self kol self. In other words, mikom akam hutzrach l'tayma de lohachi tarchi v'zvini ara de lochazilach de lo matzi amar lei hinachti lecha makom ligvas mimenu k'da amar besamuch gavi shavik benonis de kavosei shema ba'alchov ohev ziburis tfei mi benonis. Ubal Karcho Shel Shimon Hayayacho Likach Tfe Pursa Kid Amrinan Le'el. The Amarim Kena Alta Delas Mifne Lovim. What over here, what Gemara is Tosis referencing when he speaks about the fact that Hayayacho Likach Tfe Purta Kid Amrinan Le'el? What is the Amrinan Le'el? And Af Zayin Amid Beis. We had that case, if you recall, where the land was worth more in Nisan and worth less in Tishrei, and we pointed out that we had a Hava Mina, that the person holding the land could say, look, if you want to take your din, if you want to take ben on this, take it like the value currently. But if you insist on getting ziburis, and you want, you know, instead of getting an acre of Beinonis, you want an acre and an eighth of Ziburis, right? In other words, you want a little more Ziburis, you want a little more land in Alaska instead of taking land in Minnesota. Because, in other words, So then, if you want land of Ziburis, you have to take it according to the price, which is the lower price, not according to the higher price. That was shut down. Why was it shut down? It was shut down because the Malva can say, I don't understand you at all. Had I had the money, I could have bought whatever I wanted. I did you a favor. I lent you the money. Because I lent you the money, now you're going to put me in a situation of blackmail and say that if I want to buy Ziburis, I have to go according to get a lower value. Mapito. This is what we explained, is that the Malva can turn to the Lova and say, look, it's true that Chazal gave me a takana of being Gover from Beinonis, but we don't say Hura Kochi. We don't say that I've lost my claim on the Ziburis Tvei. I should be able to claim that as well if I want. So what Tosus is pointing out is that the Ziburis is also under the lien of whom? Of the Balchov. The Balchov doesn't only have a lien on Beinonis. He also has a lien on Ziburis. And so now if we'll ask, the fact that the Balchov can go to Levi because Levi has the Iker Shibud, he has the Beinonis, that's clear. We ask the question, why could he go to Shimon? Shimon no longer has the Beinonis, but what does Shimon have? He has Ziburis. And the Balchov could say, I want Ziburis, a little more Ziburis than the Beinonis. That's also part of my Shibud. Lohu Rakochi, the fact that Chazal wanted to raise my ante and give me the ability of getting Beinonis because of Lotin Odelas is very, very nice. But part of Lotin Odelas is to say Lohu Rakochi, that I'm no worse off than on the Doraisa plane that I should be able to get Ziburis. That's also part of Lotin Odelas. I shouldn't suffer a loss because I did someone a favor and lent him money. I should be able to get both the Beinonis, either the Beinonis from Levi, or get the Ziburis from Reuven. Namely, I have two Shibudim. I don't have to come on to what David pointed out and say that that Shimon stands in for Reuven. We don't need that. We can simply say that the moment that Reuven sold all of his land to Shimon, and Shimon transferred the Beinonis to Levi, now the Baal Chov can either go to Levi and get the Beinonis, or he can go to Shimon and get the Ziburis because of Lohu Rakochov. In other words, that Baal Chov Ohev Ziburis Tvei Mi Beinonis, so Baal Korcho Shel Shimon HaYochol Likach Tvei Pursa Kedamrin in La'el, Damarim Keno Alto Delas Bif Ne'lavim. Why then do we need the reasoning of Lohachi Tarchin V'Zav Nara D'Lochazi Lach Elo Mishum D'Zavan Ziburis? Because if he would have sold the Ziburis, then we would have had a problem. Mishum D'Zavan Edis V'Shir V'Ziburis V'Beinonis Lo Itzdrich. Then we had Shimon, only had left Edis, then clearly, says Tosfos, the Baal Chov would have no Taina on Shimon. He would have no taina on Shimon. He has a taina, I want my Beinonis. He can even say, I want my original Ziburis, well, a little more than that, because that's what the Torah had given me in Lohu Rakochi. There's no reason why I should lose that. But if the only thing in the hands of Shimon would be the Edis, then there would be no taina. No. And what would Rashi say? Let's go back to David. In other words, Shimon bought all the nechasim from Reuven, and now he sold. Let's say he sold both the Ziburis and the Beinonis to Levi. That the Baal Chov can go to Levi. That's obvious. Could the Baal Chov still go to Shimon? So Yitachen that yes, because what? Because
the first case in the Gemara though.
Hmm?
Isn't that the first case of the
Gemara? Currently, what?
Where he sold Beinonis and Ziboris?
Yes.
That he collects from
the Edis of the Baal Chor, of the
Shimon.
What?
Of Shimon.
Yeah, but over there we were speaking about the Edis that remained in the hands of the Lova. Now we're speaking about that this Edis has already been moved over to a buyer. Right? No, so what would you say? Could it, in other words, theoretically, it makes sense. Does anyone actually say that? So look at the Rashi that I photostated for you in Ksuvas.
Just to clarify, the cases where he only sold Idis?
No, the case is that we have over here, I'm sorry, what if we have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and then we have the Baal Chol, right? So Reuven had Idis, Beinonis, and Ziburis. All of this he sold to Shimon. And then Shimon, right, then sold the Beinonis and Ziburis to Levi. And he was left with the Idis. So in this case, the question is, would we say over here also, Ratza Mizegova, Ratza Mizegova? So Tosa says, the Baal Chov can only go to Levi. He can go to Levi for the Beinonis, which is his Iker Shibud. And even if he insists, I want Ziburis, that's also in the hands of Levi. He has no taina on the Edis. The Edis has nothing to do with him. But according to Rashi, how do we view Shimon? What did David say? That Shimon is now took over for Reuven. Shimon took over for Reuven. He's been Mekomo Munach. Right? In other words, he's Nichnas Tachtav. What if Shimon only has Edis? Could the Baal Chov go to that Edis? Right? In other words, that according to Tosfos, clearly the Baal Chov can only go to Levi. What about according to Rashi? So let's look read Rashi together.
Yeah,
Rashi.
I'm still slightly confused.
What?
I'm still slightly confused because why is that not the very first case that the Pshita that the Gemara says? The Gemara says Pshita Machar Lokeach Beinonis Viziboris Vishir Idis Lefanam. Is that the case where Shimon remains with the Idis but sold Beinonis and Ziboris to Levi? But we say there the Baal Chov can collect from Shimon because the Idis was the Bnei Charon from the first sale from Reuven. Because the Gemara is a continuation of the previous case.
Vishir Idis Lefanav means in the hands of the Lova.
Of Reuven?
Reuven. We only have one Lokeach.
Isn't this a continuation of...
Just 1 second. Pshita... You're correct. In other words, we're dealing over there where he purchased them one after the other. Okay?
I mean, this is the next thing.
Now we're talking about Reuven Shemachar Kol Sedosav Le Shimon Bevasachas. There was no. Our case currently is that Reuven sold everything. He had a garage sale. Sold everything to Shimon Bevas Achas. In the previous case, we dealt with where Reuven sold it in stages. Mm-hmm. Right? First, he sold the Ziburis, and then the Beronis, and then the Edis. Right? So that the Edis, you know, is still an Achrona. Is still B'nei Chari. Yeah.
So why is it Pashat?
So then it's Pashat in the case earlier that Ligvu Me'idis to Ha Achronahi.
Doesn't that mean that since Shimon bought Idis last, so we can still collect from Shimon?
That since Shimon purchased it last, that again, we're talking about who is that? Yeah, that he could still. We have Reuven as the Lova, Shimon is the first Lokeach. Mm-hmm. So Shimon purchased it last. So in the case where Shimon purchased them consecutively, one after the other, the one that he purchased last is the one that has all the Shibudim on it. But that's in a situation where you have a Mazik and a Baal Chov and a Ksuvas Isha, and they, in other words, and we say that they all have Shibudim on the field he purchased last. In our case over here, we're not dealing with a Mazik and an Isha. We're just dealing with the Baal Chov. In our situation, we're just dealing with the Baal Chov. And we're dealing with the case where he purchased all the three fields, not consecutively, but simultaneously. He purchased them all by Vasachas. So now we're saying that we have no Achrona. We have no B'nei Chari. That's what Tosas Ratzimizeh Gova pointed out. That this has nothing to do with the previous situation. Over here, kula meshabdin ninhu. We have no b'nei chori. We have no achrona. The question is just on what does the Baal Chov have a lien? So according to Rashi, the Baal Chov has a lien on Levi, because Levi now has the benonis. The Baal Chov has a lien on Shimon, because Shimon is instead of Reuven. Shimon is nichtas b'mekomo. That's why rotza mizegova, rotza mizegova. Okay? Tosos says, no. The reason that the Baal Chov has a shibud on Shimon is because he has the benonis. The reason on Levi is because he has the benonis. The reason he has a shibud on Shimon is because Shimon has ziburis and gohura kocho, and this is part of the takana that Shimon has the choice. I'm sorry, that the Baal Chov has a choice of either going to who has the benonis, or he can go to the one who has the ziburis. We asked, according, and Tosas points out, that had the Shimon only retained the Edis, then clearly there is no connection between the Baal Chov and Shimon. In other words, the Yachol Litchosa, Mamach HaRishon HaSheni Kol Zchus Shetava L'Yado, that Shimon clearly can send him to Levi. Levi has the Benonis and Ziburis. Our question was according to Rashi. So now let's look at Rashi in Ksuvas. Kedemesayim v'azil, dezavan Levi mishimon benonis, sheshibud ba'achov alei. V'lo shavak benonis mishel Reuven etzel Shimon. Therefore, he can be gove from Shimon. Hilkach hawet, therefore he can gove from Levi, I'm sorry, I keep mixing it. Therefore he can gove from Levi, because Levi has all of the benonis. What's the svar of being gove from Shimon? Hilkach ratza ligvos mishimon edis gove. Rashi says black and white that we're not concerned about the ziburis tfei like Tosas talks about. The chiddush is he can even be gover from Shimon Edis. The svar that David gave, you bought everything simultaneously. Nichnasta tachas Reuven lishtabed lechovi. You're omei bimkom Reuven. You're nichnas bimekomo. V'kol zman she'emtza mishel Reuven etzlecha klum lo atriach etzlevi. There's no reason why he should move to the second lokeach as long as you are considered to be the lover. Hiniyachli makom ligvos. Okay. However, if there was nothing left by Shimon, then Ratzem Yilevi Gova Kagonim Lo Yimtzes Al Shimon Mishal Reuven Ela Ziburis. Then he could claim, I want my Benonis from Levi. Atal Kachted Shibudis Benonis Shedini Mutal Aleha. Okay. Then, the end of the Rashi, the Afal Gav, that's the Tosfos of Ratza. Namely, don't we have this principle that you can always be Chozer on the Bnei Chori? So that's going back to Reuven. But over here, that everything has already been transferred, Hashta Shimon Lav Baal Chovohu, Afal Gav Mikoach Tir Fahu Ba'ev. Everything is already Meshuba. Yes? I'm sorry.
Was that touching on the Tosfos of Ratza, Mizah?
The second half of Rashi, the Afagavilu lakcha Levi lebenonis miruven viniachet lo ziburis. That's Tosfos Ratza. That's going back to the previous Tosfos.
Rashi saying that he holds of that and just here.
Rashi says that he holds of that. That we're, in other words, we're Reuven to have maintained something. We'd always go back to Reuven. That's the Bnei Chori. Even if that would have been Edis, you know, it's whatever Reuven has. We would have always gone back to Reuven. But Reuven transferred everything to Shimon. The moment Reuven transferred everything to Shimon, everything is now Meshubad. The question is, what does the Baal Chov have more of a case? So the Gemara says the Baal Chov has a case on Levi, the Baal Chov has a case on Shimon. So the case of the Gemara is where the Baal Chov purchased Benonis, and he left over here Edis and Ziburis. That's the case of the Gemara. And so in this case, he can go to Levi, because Levi has the Iker Shibud, has the Benonis, or he can go back to Reuven. Why could he go back to Reuven? So Rashi explained, because Reuven stands in for why, I'm sorry, why he can go back to either he can take the Benonis from Levi, or he can go back to Shimon. Why can he go back to Shimon? So Rashi explained, because Shimon stands in for Reuven. Tosus explained, because the Ziburis is something that that the Baal Chov retains a Shibud on Ziburis. Even though his main Shibud is on Benonis, Lohura Kocho, by Ziburis. That's what we saw in Daf Zayin Amud Beis. Nafgamina between Rashi and Tosfos is what about the Edus? Could the Baal Chov collect from the Edus that's in the hands of Shimon? So according to Rashi, Yitachein that yes, because he's standing in for Reuven. And so as long as something is left in his hands, we can always go back to that. Ma'ashen Kain, according to Tosfos, Ma'pitom, he has no claim on the Edus. His claim is on the Beinonis and Lohu Rakoko on the Ziburis. Yes?
According to Rashi, why doesn't he have to invite Shimon? If Shimon is mamish in the place of Reuven, so why don't you say,
because we have this concept of Iker Shibudo. His Iker Shibudo is on the Beinonis, and in other words, Levi can't claim. In other words, Tarachti, I went ahead and I bought that which is not your Iker Shibud, and he can't claim he nachti makom. He didn't leave any benonis by Shimon.
But he can say he nachti makom in the same way that in a stam case when the lover, let's say himself has.
But that's by the lover we have a din of bnei chori, so we don't take from shubadim when you have bnei chori. Here, that's what Tosas pointed out. Yirmasko Ratza, we have no bnei chori. That's exactly what Tosas is coming to explain to you why we can get to Levi, because we have no B'nei Chari. Reuven is not in the picture. According to Rashi, the way David explained properly, Shimon is Bimkom, but not Bimkom totally. Bimkom in the fact that he's still in the picture, that the Baal Chov can still go back to him, but it doesn't turn what he has into B'nei Chari. Not that far. Okay. Okay, so just be aware that this is like a sleeper Tosfos, that he has a very, very big nafgamina between what Tosfos writes and what Rashi again, by us, didn't even say it. He said that Ratza Shimon Gova Miziburis, to Amar Leif, but it would even be Mishimon Gova Miedis. That's what Rashi points out in Ksuvis. Is it Muchrach? It's not Muchrach, but it's possible. And Rashi himself does say it. In Ksuvus. Here Rashi, you know, it takes a minor tone, and for Rashi by us talks about Ziburis, and Tosfos talks about Ziburis, but within the Svara of Rashi, At Baal Dvarim Didi At Shaklus Kulu Nichse Deruven, that opens a petach for Rashi in Ksuvus to say even Edus. Okay, let's move to the next case. Amar Abaye. Reuven Shemachar Soda L'Shimon B'Achrayus. Namely, the Achrayus is that if this field is taken away from Shimon, Shimon can go back and put a claim on Reuven. Va'asa Baal Chov de Reuven, that which Shimon, you know, feared, and therefore he built in the Achrayus, v'taraf mi Shimon. Dinahu, da'azal Reuven u'mishta'i dina bahadei. That Reuven can take the Baal Chov to court and tell the Baal Chov, you have no right to take that field away from Shimon, for whatever reason. I already paid you. You know, you owed me this. You owed me something that's the equivalent of this, etc., etc. He can take him to court. Mishtai dina bahadei. Uvelo matzi amar lei lav baal dvarim didiyat. The Baal Chov can't tell him, I have nothing to do with you any longer. In other words, the field that I have is by Shimon, not by you. So amar lei. That if you take this field away from Shimon, alai hador, Shimon is now going to come to me. So I am a baal dovar. Even if Shimon has no legal recourse to Reuven, Reuven can still claim he wants to take the baal chov to court. L'Shimon tar omes alai. That even though it's true that Shimon has no legal recourse to me, but I don't want him to be upset at me. I don't want him to not be my golf partner any longer. I don't want him to feel that I sold him a lemon. In other words, and that itself is a reason why I can take you to court. What do we see over here in the Gemara about the definition of a baal dovar? A baal dovar is someone who has the right to take someone else to court. What would we have thought without our Gemara, and what is our Gemara over here telling us? What could we have thought? You know, who would be considered to be a Baal Davar? And what is the Gemara telling us about who is a Baal Davar?
Seems like maybe you'd think that only someone who you're directly being mazik, someone who you're directly causing the loss to.
In other words, you could have thought in one of two directions. You could have thought a Baal Davar is only the individual who currently is involved in the possibility of losing or gaining money. He's the Baal Davar. That ancillary loss would not be a factor. Kamash Malan, we take into account ancillary loss. But on the other end, what else could we have thought? Going in totally the other direction, we could have thought that a Baal Davar is anyone who at one time owned this property. Anyone who at one time owned this property is a Baal Davar. Kamash Malan, no, that's history. So what are we saying? So what do we require to be a Baal Davar? You don't have to actually be the individual who currently is gaining or losing. You don't have to be on one hand. On the other hand, it's not enough that you just be history. What does it have to be for you? What has to be your relationship to the case?
Correct.
That
you have involvement in some way.
What sort of in other words, that currently you have a nafkamina, that it currently makes a difference to you. You have a current nafkamina. This is not history on one hand. On the other hand, you're not the one who's immediately impacted. But there is a nafkamina. What are the two deos in the Gemara? What sort of nafkamina does it have to be?
Monetary loss or reputation.
No. Does it have to be a monetary nafkamina? That's the first dea in the Gemara. I'm not going to lose in this court case, but I'm going to lose in the next court case. So I have a monetary nafkamina. Or the second is that even in terms of my name, even in terms of my reputation, I have a nafkamina. That's already enough. But I need a nafkamina. It can't be just that I have an academic interest in this case. There has to be some nafkamina ligabai to me. Okay? There was a case in New York a number of years ago about the Chabad library that was found, in Russia. Was it part of the personal library of the previous Chabad Rebbe, or was it did it belong to the Chabad organization that the previous Rebbe had basically put it together to be part of a research library for Chabad? It was never meant as his personal interest. So someone can come up with I have an academic interest in this issue as to how to understand the letters of the Rebbe, you know, that were written about this. That's not enough to take someone to court because you have an academic interest. It could be that you have an interest because somewhere down the line, this is going to either cost you money or you're going to gain money. That's a monetary interest. Or that your reputation as, you know, whether you're considered to be a thief or whether you're considered to be an angel, that's what determines over here in terms of your connection to the case. What do we find in Tosfos in Baba Basra, which is relevant to this? Tosfos in Baba Basra is not talking about who's a Baal Davar or who's not a Baal Davar. What is Tosfos in Baba Basra talking about? That in the court, in the world of court, not only do you have a Tovei and a Nitva, what else do you have? What's the classic form of proof? Is a chiddush, right? Eidim, right? An eid, in other words, cannot be a nogeya badavar. So lechora, what chakira could you have based on our gemara? What would turn someone into a nogeya badavar?
Does he have to have financial stake in it, or just
reputation? In other words, do you need a financial stake, or would it be enough simply to have a reputational stake? So we find in Tosos that really are two deos. The Tosos really has two deos. In other words, that the Gemara speaks about a financial stake. Tosfos asks, why not raise the issue of the reputational stake? Kedamina Perakama de Babakama. Like in our Gemara, we have these two options. So Tosis answer is A, maybe a nifsal bishul zela avis, maybe we have a different standard in terms of an aid. To be a bal davar, to have a skut to take someone to court, it's enough if you have a reputational interest. But to be an aid, to be puzzled as an aid, that would only be if you have a monetary interest. Inami hachamayriya fiu b'makirba shehi shalod leka taromes. Or no, were there to be really a reputational issue, that would be enough to pass on aid. But we're dealing in the ukimta, the Gemara, where there is no reputational issue. Okay, so the two deos of Tosfos are the two deos as to whether we have the same standards in the world of psul edus as we have in terms of becoming a bal davar. That remains an open issue. Tosfos over here points out, Kamishtoi dina bahada. Let's first look at Rashi. De ba'alchov lesalko me'oso karka bidvarim im yeshlo reuven shum tviya al ba'alchovo. That we point that the Rashi points out that it could very well be that Reuven can deflect the ba'alchov from the case because he can claim praticha. He can claim that even if the Balchov is coming with a shtar, maybe that shtar is parua and force the Balchov to swear. Tosas expands the number of ta'anot. Tosas says, V'yim tomar, my nafgamina, ha'kol mashi yachol reuven lit'on, ta'aninan le'shimon. Why would, in the world would Reuven have to take the Balchov to court on his own? The court system will take any theoretical taina that Reuven could have used, and they will be towing it for Shimon. De taninan lei lelokeach. That's part of our court system. That would anyone who purchased something, or rechem li yisomim, anyone whose father is who's standing in place of his father, that Bezdin is going to be towing for that lokeach or that yosom anything that the original individual could have been towing on his own. And Tosa says, Bain Parua, whether we're dealing with a taina of Parua, Bain Mizuyaf, or a taina that the star is forged. Namely, that the taina that a star is forged is not only the taina of the original individual whose name is in the star, it's also a taina for anyone who purchased the land on which this star is based. That is not such an obvious assumption. It's clear that that's the assumption of Tosas. Next year we're supposed to learn Bishat Tova Gittin. This is a Tosas on Gittin, Daf Beizam and Aleph. So be aware that we will get to this in the world of Get, that Tosas holds that we say Tainin on the part of Bezdin, not only on Perua, but also on Mezuyaf. However, there's a very powerful Svara of the Briska Rav, of Rav Yitzchak Zev, Rav Elval, against this assumption of Tosfos. And so I sent you to the Briska Rav. I'm sorry, it's not in the Bar Ilan, and it's not in Hebrew books, and it's not in the Otzer HaChachma. So I tried to photostat it, and I missed part of the page, so I just gave up after trying one page. So he quotes as follows, Begitin daf gimel amad aleph. Chad, in other words, if you recall, the first sugi in Gittin deals with the fact that the person who brings a get from a Dina Sayam, that we have to have that the Edim on the get will come and say, or two Edim will come and say, Befanei Nechtam or Befanei Nechtam, that this get was signed in front of us, and therefore we are made that it was done Lishma. What if we only have one person accompanying the get, and that one person says it was written Lishma, Chad? So Gemara says, Asi Baal Uma'arev Repasole. One is not enough, because then the Baal who wrote the get, he can claim Mapitam. This wasn't written Lishma. In other words, I found this get already in an antique store, and I saw, wow, this is my name, this is my wife's name, and I purchased the get, for a discount, but it was never written Lishma. So we have so Rashi explains, Mishum Duuki Chad Legabe Chad. That we would have over here, one against one. The A bringing the get says it was written lishma. The Baal says it was not written lishma. Safek darei. So the chumra, right? Mitzad HaSafek, we would passel the get. Sarach Iyun asks the Brisker Rav, Hare be'emes amrinan lekaman de'ein irur pachos mishnayim elo irur de'baal. That the Baal is not just a person, he's just not an aid. In other words, that even though generally in order to passel a get, you need two aidim, in order to say that this get is no good, you require two aidim, a Baal is believed on his own. Uba'al karcho, the Baal shiny mikol eid echad ba'alma. That the Baal has the status, if you want to, of two aidim. As lamar nakat rashi letaima duruki chad legabekad, tepe klemishim irur de Baal. But Sarathiyam, why in the world did Rashi set this up as one against one if we're dealing with the Baal? The Baal is a super, has a superpower in this area to passel a get on his own. So here, the Brisker Rav wants to distinguish between what the Baal is saying in order to passel the get. V'nira lomar b'bir divrei Rashi. Hine be'emes ikar hadavar mada Baal ne'mon la'arer v'lomar sha'ashtar pasul. Eino mishum dehu ba'al din. In other words, our sugya is a sugya of ba'al din. Who is a ba'al din who has the right to take someone to court? The fact that a ba'al can passel a get has nothing to do with the fact that he happens to be a ba'al din, that he happens to be the individual who is one of the two parties involved in the get. There's he and his previous wife, or his current wife. U'kamavuar baram b'resh gittin. The Baal lav Baal dinhu. In other words, that the concept of Baal din, we pointed out, is one of money or reputation. By the Baal, he's not a Baal din. The ain isha mamono shel Baal. The concept of Baal din is only meaningful in the world of Choshe Mishpat, where you have a world of mamonos. A get has nothing to do with Choshe Mishpat. A get is a world of Eben Ha'ezer. Just as an aside, The whole world of Eben Ha'ezer, of Hilchos Gittin and Hilchos Ksuvas is a fascinating world. Because on one hand, a Ksuva and a Get are Shtaros. And the world of Shtaros is a world of Choshe Mishpat. On the other hand, they're unique to the world of Nashik. And there are all sorts of quirks within Get and Ksuva that have only to do with the world of Ishus, have nothing to do with the world of Shtaros. It's like you have an intersection of two worlds. When you learn Hilchos Gittin or Hilchos Ksuvas, it's like an intersection of two worlds. I was zochet to learn Eben Ha'ezer with Rezama Nechemia Goldberg Shlita, who was a tremendous, tremendous baki, and the whole time he was bringing in either the Avnei Miluim, the Ksosis work on Eben Ha'ezer, or the Ksosis Nesivas, that which they wrote in Choshe Mishpat, because he keeps going back and forth, between the world of Choshe Mishpat and the world of Noshim. It's like an in-between cycle. When you learn Hilchos Kedushin, that's pure Noshim, right? But the moment that you learn Hilchos Ksubas or Hilchos Gittin, that's an intersection. So over here, in other words, the Ran points out that a get doesn't have the status of a shtar in the world of Choshe Mishpat, in other words, in terms of the concept of Baal Dovar. Because a woman is not a man's possession. This is an interpersonal relationship, having nothing to do with ownership or with the concept of legal jurisprudence. Why then does the Baal have a unique status in terms of a get? Not because he's a Baal Dovar, Elahu Baal Hashtar. If you recall, we said that a shtar is a chiddush. What does the Torah say about the world of Eidus? What requirement is there to have proper Eidus? Alpi Shnayim Eidim. What do we learn from Alpi? That generally you require oral Eidus. Eidus has to be Mipihem. It shouldn't be Mipiksavam. How in the world do we have a shtar? So we said that a shtar is Gzeiras HaKosuv, that Eidim HaChasumim Al Hapshtar Nase Kimisha Nechkeru Eidusan Bebezim, that we have an ability to have a shtar which would be the equivalent of oral testimony, not just of the testimony, but also of the of the questioning and the answering, the interrogation of the edim. Edim achasum al hashtar nasa kemishin echkeroi dusim ebezda. It's considered to be completed oral testimony. What creates the shtar? What's the difference between a shtar and a deposition? A deposition is pasul. A deposition is written edus, right? If, in other words, they didn't want to take Clinton to court because he was president at the time that Monica Lewinsky accused him of various activity, and so he gave a deposition. He wrote out his testimony. In halacha, that's meaningless. What creates a shtar as opposed to a deposition? The fact that shtar is written, b'da'as hamischayev. It's written, there's a baal hashtar. The baal hashtar creates the shtar. And therefore, in the world of get, the baal, the husband, is not a baal davar. This is not a world of choshen mishpat. He's a baal hashtar. He created the shtar. He gave the shtar its power of edim achasum al hashtar, kemisha nechkara edusan bebezim. Yisod hadavar mishum shu baal hashtar. He can say, I created the shtar, and he can say, Bein leposlo. He can say, this shtar, I never commanded the shtar to be written. It's a forgery. If the Baal says this is a forgery, then I get batel. It goes from being a shtar to being a deposition. It goes to being edus pechsav. Edus pechsav is meaningless. Then we overhear the role of the Baal, that we say the Baal is you know, on his own, can make or break a shtar, because that's the gzeras hakosuv of shtar. If he only had the status of being a baal din, im came below kiyum al kopanim ides feka lo nafik v'lama batel lagamri. In other words, without this unique status of being the baal hashtar, if we were dealing on the level of the baal simply coming as an outsider, so we have a shtar that says that it's okay, it stands on its own 2 feet. A baal says it's no good. It would be a suffik. We don't say it's a suffik. We say it's batel. Le gamri, and therefore, mode bishtar shekosvo. If the person, the Baal Das HaMischayev, says, I wrote the shtar, ain't tzarech l'kayemo. We don't have to prove the signatures to be proper. In other words, that's the status of the Baal Ashtar. He creates the shtar, he creates the concept of Eidim Achasim al Ashtar, Nasa Kemisha, Nechkerudusim Abezin, Vigovim in Achasim mit Shubadim. On the other hand, if the other party, the Lokeach, not the Mischayev, the one who's purchasing, says, oh, I this shtar certainly is meaningful for me, then it still needs kiyum. It's still, he's not the one who can create the shtar. It's only going to be govah when the signatures are validated. Therefore, ulafizeh, just to continue within in the Briska Rav, now we can understand Rashi. When does the Baal have a unique status? When he claims that the shtar is bezuyaf, that the shtar is forged. Then that simply pulls the rug out under the shtar. The whole shtar only gets its validity because the Baal says, this is the shtar. That creates Eidim Achasim al Hashtar. However, let's say the Baal says, this shtar was written Shelo L'shmo. No, that's not a din in creating a shtar. That's a psul. It's a side psul. In that, the Baal is just like the person who brings the shtar and says, V'fanai nechta. Then it's one against one. That's what the Briska Rav points out. That's why Rashi says it's chad legabe chad. Because when do we say that the Baal is Yirer HaBaal, that can pull the rug out under from the shtar? That's when he claims the shtar is not a shtar. I never wrote it. In other words, it never got off the ground. It's meaningless. It's edus bichsav. It's simply a deposition. It doesn't have a status of a shtar. We don't apply the maksum al ashtar. But when he agrees that it's a shtar, it's valid, as a shtar, but it was written shelo l'shma, it's a psul because of one of the dinim of get, on that plane, he's just like an outsider. Okay, harei yuka kol eidecha dalma. So, if I were to ask you, we know that Reuven, right, the Balchov is coming with a shtar against Shimon. Shimon purchased the land from Reuven. So Reuven says, I want to take this Baal Chov to court, Because I want to claim that this shtar is mezuyav. It's a forgery. Tosis asked the question, why take him to court? Anything that Reuven can be towing, Shimon can also be towing. Let Shimon be towing that the shtar is mezuyav. In other words, via the world of Tanina. That's what Tosis asks. Is that a valid point? Can we, in other words, if Reuven claims the shtar is parua, so Tosis points out that shtar of parua, Bezdin are Taninan for Shimon as well. Can Bezdin be towing mezuyaf for Shimon? Or is mezuyaf a taina which is unique to Reuven? What do we see over here from the Briska Rav? The Briska Rav spoke about mezuyaf as opposed to lishma. What about, in other words, mezuyaf as opposed to parua? There's room for the svara of the Briska Rav that maybe this is a taina that can only come from the mouth of the Baal HaShtar. This isn't the din of a Baal Dovar that will say we can transfer this from Reuven to Shimon that with the din of Taninan. Maybe Taninan is by Parua. Maybe Taninan is Shelo Lishma. Taninan is all sorts of tainas that would passel something based on a technicality, based on some outside factor. But maybe Mezuyaf, that is a unique taina of the Baal HaShtar. It's not so clear that that can be transferred. Okay, so just pointing out that this shita of the Baalei HaTosos, that we say Tanina, not only on Perua, but also on Mezuyaf, is not necessarily so clear. It's not necessarily so clear. So Tosos anyway asks the question, why do we need Reuven? And he goes through and points out, Elchore, anything that Reuven can be towing will be towing for Shimon as well. And he ends up, at the very, very end, he comes up with an ukimta, where we have a din of Raya Achrona. What's the din of Raya Achrona? Let's say there's a court case, and every taina that the Toveya raises turns out not to work. And so Beis Din turns to the Toveya and says, you have any more claims? And he says, no. And then, a week later, he comes, I have a new claim. Do we open up everything all over again? So that's a machlokes tanoim. In other words, that once the Toveya says, I'm finished, in other words, do we simply close the case? Or is this always subject to being reopened and reopened and reopened? So if we say that we close the case, so what if Shimon closed the case? And now Reuven says, but I want to come and be the Toveya, and I have a taina. All right, so this is something that can only work for Reuven and not work for Shimon. That's what the Argamar is talking about in the according to Tosfos. That's where you'd have a nafkamina. Okay, can we continue? Did you get further than this?
Yeah.
What? Some yes, some no. Everyone yes.
The Gemara.
Okay, let's learn Gemara. Fine. Okay. V'amar Abaye, Reuven shamachar soda l'Shimon shelo ba'achrayus. V'yotzu alav asikin. What is yotzu alav asikin? What does Rashi point out?
Rumors.
Rumors to what degree?
That the field belonged to somebody else.
That the field never had belonged to Reuven. That Reuven sold something that had never belonged to him. So in this case, the Gemara says that we have an ability, ad shelo hichzik bo, yochol lachzor bo, mi shehichzik bo, ein yochol lachzor bo. That the person who bought the field, Shimon, has a certain point at which he can simply say, mekach tos, I want my money back, or I want to return the field. And then beyond that point, he'll have to live with the consequences. My taima. Why in the world would we say that after a certain point he would have to live with the consequences? Damar le, chayesa dekatre, savris v'kabalis. That you bought this field, shaloba achrayus, you bought this field at a discount because there is no guarantee. And when you buy something without a guarantee, so you buy a cat in the bag. Right? I think that's an expression. No? You don't know what you got. It's like you have those games at a party where everything is in like brown paper bags and everyone brings something and then everyone takes someone else's bag and sometimes you end up with nothing. Sometimes you end up with something, you end up with nothing. You know, that's the cat in the bag. That's all. You know, you purchase something. You took a risk. You took a risk by buying a field without a guarantee, and so this is what you got. Then the Gemara asks, "Me'emas have a chazaka? What is this chazaka we're speaking about? Michidayish amitzri, that the person went around and checked the boundaries of the field. V'dafka shelo ba'achrayus. When do we say that we have this cutoff point? If the person bought it without a guarantee, avol ba'achrayus lo. That in the world of achrayus, you have a longer period of time to say, I want to return the field. Even with Achrayus, it's the same as Shloba Achrayus, and we have the same cutoff time. But with Achrayus, you have a guarantee. So afterwards, you will show that this land was taken away from you because it kind of belonged to someone else, and then Reuven will repay you the money that you spent on the field. He'll fulfill the guarantee. That's the Gemara. Tosfos over here, we have two very, very small Tosfos. Top Tosfos simply points out, Yotzel of Yesikin, Perish Orin. Orin means those who claim that this land never had belonged to Reuven in the first place. Aval Engla Faresh Anosid. It doesn't mean that we're going to have people who are bullies, who are going to take away this field by force. Namely, the only issue over here that we have is whether Reuven had the right to sell the field to Shimon, whether the field actually belonged to Reuven. Then we have this concept of a certain cutoff point of being able to return it. But in terms of something else happening to this field from the outside, the field was taken over by bullies. There was a war, and the enemy won this field. There was a volcano that erupted in the middle of this field. V'chule, that's Mazal Chagara. That has nothing to do with Reuven. It has nothing to do with the sale. It has to do with the fact that something unexpected happened. Orin over here is not something unexpected. It's something that is within the realm of possibility. When you buy a field, maybe it never belonged to the person who sold it to you. That's the situation that we're talking about. What all the Rishonim over here discuss, and this, I understand, is where some of you got up to and some of you in the middle. Yeah. So just to give you a heads up, is what is this Dayish Amitzri? What is this Chazaka that we're speaking about? Was the land actually purchased legally, or are we dealing before the land was actually purchased legally? And if the land was actually purchased legally, well then, you know, like, what recourse do you have? And if the land wasn't actually purchased legally, so what's the question? Namely, how do we learn over here the Gemara? So what you're going to see is that there's a very basic machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. You will find that within the Rambam and the Hagos by Manios in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, you're going to have a parallel machlokas, not an equation, but a parallel machlokas. And then there is a shita of Rav Yonasan Miluniel, who is like wow. It's like just totally, totally, totally creative, and really comes into a very beautiful shot, in my humble opinion, in the Gemara, and to a certain degree answers most of the questions that you would have either on Rashi or on Tosfos. The basic issue is why would we have, I know it's sort of a double-edged sword. If the land was already purchased, so what's the concept of an ability to return something that was already purchased? And if we say that in the world of Mekach Taos, it was never really purchased, right? That I ordered a piano, and all of a sudden I opened the box, and it's a cabinet. Right? I ordered a piano, and this is a cabinet. Right? That's Mekach Taos. So should there be any limit in time as to when I can pay it back, when I can get my money back? In other words, I never bought a cabinet. I bought a piano. And so if we're dealing over here with the world of Mekach Taos, why should we, in other words, on two hands, if it's not a world of Mekach Taos, why should we have a cutoff point that continues beyond the sale? And if it is a mekach ta'us, why should there be a cutoff point at all as to when I can return it? I should be able to always return it because I never bought that which is being sold to me. Exactly, what's halacha going on over here? And so Rav Yonasan Milunil, as I pointed out, has his own direction. Rav Yonasan Milunil is found in Rav Yonasan Milunil. There's a Rishon, right? Rav Yonasan Milunil. In other words, in the Shita Mekubetzes, they don't have Rav Yonasan. My edition of the Shita doesn't have Rav Yonasan Milunil on this. But the Shita itself is brought by the Meiri, who we expect. But Rav Yonasan Milunil was from Lunil, he was from Provence. The Meiri, even though he summarizes all Rishonim from Ashkenaz and Sfarim, but he himself lived in Provence. So it makes sense to say that he would find the Shita. So it is found in the Meiri, but it's much clearer in Rav Yonasan Milunil itself. So, okay, so you have that on the page. Okay, that's A. Then in terms of where we're going, we're moving then to Rav Huna. Rav Bednarsh, Shlita, learned this Rav Huna when we had the sugya over here on Daf Zayin Amud Beis as to how to deal with the psukim of payment. We have one pasuk of payment of Meitav Sadehu in the world of Shein Veregel, and another statement, Yashiv, in the world of Bor. Yashiv implies Afilu Shavakesin, even jelly beans. So what is, how do you pay? With jelly beans or with real estate? So we saw already the Shita of Rav Papa and Rav Huna Beredu Rav Yoshua, that Meitav means either or. You have a choice, that the individual has a choice. I could pay with money, or I could pay with Meitav, or I could pay with jelly beans. Whatever I want to, I can do. On that, Rav Huna comes to disagree. Rav Huna disagrees with Rav Papa, that's clear. So you'll see what Rav Huna himself says. And then the question is, well, very nice. Well, then how do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rav Papa, or do we paskin like Rav Huna? So that's a machokas Rishonim quoted over here in Tosafot Ramaskol Rav Huna. So that's important to see the machokas Rishonim and the Rush. It's machokas between the Rif and Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rush explains the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rush, you know, where it's, we know, moved from Ashkenaz to Sfarad. So even though he explains Shita Rabbeinu Tam, he himself paskins like the Rif. But then you're going to come to the Rambam. And the Rambam, the problem is, it's a nishtahin, nishtaher. It doesn't appear to be Rav Papa, and it doesn't appear to be Rav Huna. Where did the Rambam come from? And then, when you look at the Yad Ramah, quoted by the Nebuka Yosef and the Beis Amid Aleph, that makes things even worse, that in terms of his set, where did that come from? And so, this is not our problem. Everyone was bothered by this. So the Sma in Shulchan Aruch was bothered by it because the Shulchan Aruch passage, it's like the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam. So the Sma says, well, I can explain the Rambam, bum, bum, bum. And then the Shach over there says, papikak, you don't know what you're talking about, etc. And he shoots him down. But the question is, but then, okay, very nice, you shoot down the Sma, but then what are you left with? So that's what we have to deal with. Where, like how do we close up our sugya? We're at this point where we're tying up the world of Meitav. How do we tie it up in the end? And so I sent you to Uxos and a Nesivos, just in order to be able to just give you, I hope, tools to be able to think of it, of an answer. Okay, that will take us until what I hoped we would do today. I know it's wishful thinking. Okay, so that will bring that to certainly do on Wednesday, those two. But I would like also to go further, so I'll give you also more Mar Makomos. And it's okay, we're on schedule. In other words, I would like to get up to the Mishnah, Amir Hashem, in the next three Shiurim. So it shouldn't be all that hard to do. Okay, there after what I mentioned to you, there are basically two more sugyos, one sugya of Ha'achim Shecholku. How do we view the world of brothers who split an inheritance? Are they buying one from the other? Are they lechuchos? It's a shas sugya. And then, at the very end, there's like a nice Or HaChaim sugya of hidur mitzvah. How much do you have to add for hidur mitzvah? So, you know, we'll end on a bang. And then, by that time, I should have figured out whether I'd like to continue with you in the first parak, or jump to the beginning of the second or the third para. So I'll let you know for the next week and a half. Beseder? Okay.
today. I have a chance to finish something else.
I'm working on it.